Hey everybody, it's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship Podcast. We are one third of the way through the baseball season, and for two of our Southern California teams, that means very different things. For the Dodgers, that means that the end of the first third, and a great first third it was, the Dodgers have widely overachieved, whereas their crosstown American League counterparts, the Angels, have widely underachieved. With me being a Dodgers fan and Luke being an Angels fan, we thought it was a good time to sit down and talk about the first third of the season for each team and the outlook and prognosis for the second two-thirds of the season, whether the Angels can come back and rally, whether the Dodgers can hold on and maintain their league in the lead in the National League West. And we hope you enjoy our conversation, Dodgers and Angels, here on the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
Baseball is the topic.
Baseball, today. Baseball.
Baseball been very, very good to me.
Very good.
We are at the, what?
Quarter.
50?
The quarter mark.
Or 50 games in?
A little over, yeah.
50 games into the baseball season here. It's late May, and the Dodgers are the first team to 30 wins.
Yeah.
Which is exciting for me.
Surprising.
With Luke Johnson, I'm Owen Main. We're on the podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about baseball, and the Angels are the topic that I want to talk to Luke about.
They're the hot topic.
Hot topics.
They are.
A couple weeks ago, Mickey Hatcher.
Fired.
Fired. He is a former Dodger outfielder. Mm-hmm. One thing I remember about Mickey Hatcher, he was always running. He would
always run
everywhere.
Yeah, hard
in the
worker.
Outfield. He was a really good Dodger player.
Bless you.
The kitty cats are getting to me. Mickey Hatcher was great. I loved watching Mickey Hatcher. I love everything about what he did. And he's been with Mike Socha for since Socha got to the Angels.
Yep.
Him and Alfredo Griffin is still there too, right?
Him and Socha defined an era in Angel baseball.
Right. And so. And so this year, the Angels kind of decided to go a different direction from the homegrown style that they had been.
Much different.
And Luke was really excited about Albert Pujols coming to the Angels. And Pujols got off to the worst start in his career.
Still off to a poor start.
Still not hitting very well. I mean, he's hit a couple homers now, but still not hitting great.
Uh-huh.
And it became public that Hatcher and Pujols got into an argument.
Did not get along.
So I want your thoughts, Luke, on the Hatcher-Pujols thing, and do you feel like, as somebody who's a diehard Angels fan over time, who's had Mickey Hatcher as your guy, won a World Series with Mickey Hatcher as your hitting coach, and Hatcher was, of course, part of that 88 Dodger team that I love. Hatcher's a guy that we both like a lot. What are your thoughts on Hatcher leaving and Pujols coming in? What gives?
It's bittersweet because anytime you bring in a player like Albert Pujols, you know, celebration ensues. One of the greats, with or without a great year this year. But it's bittersweet because, like I said, Mickey Hatcher was the right hand to Mike Socha, who I believe is also an ex-Dodger, who I believe is a brilliant manager, a guy who has brought back sort of that national.
He does a lot with a little.
That National League small ball. You know that his Angel teams actually remind me of the later '90s Braves teams when they lost all those really good scoring players. It was before Sheffield and Chipper Jones was like their only bat. And they played just a phenomenal small ball, and they still won games with Bobby Cox.
So tell me about, like, do you think Hatcher deserved to get fired for how crappy? I mean, Pujols wasn't the only Angel not hitting. Ibar had a really bad start.
I don't think it's fair to blame Mickey Hatcher for what I believe is a major identity crisis right now with the Angels.
For the team. Got it.
As a whole. Artie Moreno has had deep pockets for a long time, and I think Artie Moreno is a guy who respects the game of baseball but wants to spend money. You know, to to win more than one title every 15 years.
If you got it, why not spend it?
Yeah. So he is a guy who wants to go out and get the Albert Pujols. He wants to get these big names. He wants to get, you know, the CJ Wilsons, you know, of the world, the Vladimir Guerreros, these guys who are big name players who hit home runs or, you know, dominate pitching wise. Mike Socha's not against that, obviously. Mike Socha has a say in things. But Mike Socha is not that type of manager. And either is Mickey right. Hatcher as a hitter. Mickey Hatcher, like you said, was a hardworking utility player. And he was a guy who preached patience.
He personified
patience for a long time in Anaheim because they didn't have the bats
right.
to go up and just hit home runs
hack
like
away.
Pujols has in the past.
Sure.
Although Pujols is traditionally also a very patient hitter.
Very patient, yeah.
But with all these signings, the expectation was score runs, score runs, score runs. Take pressure off of the pitching.
Sure.
Score runs, score runs. Mickey Hatcher isn't that type of hitting coach. He is stay patient, allow for the steal, allow for the hit and run, so on and so forth. And so when they got off to a slow start, rumor was Albert Pujols blamed him for a lot of the 0-2 counts.
And a lot of that got into Pujols' head. And
it did.
And Hatcher made one of their conversations public, and that was kind of the beginning of the end, right?
That was the end.
So do you think that Hatcher got a raw deal, and how mad at Pujols are you as an Angel fan? 1 to 10, how mad at Pujols are you? And 1 to 10, 10 being the most mad, 1 to 10,
I'm mad
10
at
being the rawest okay. of deals, how bad of a deal do you think Hatcher got?
See, I'm a guy who, number-wise, I'm going to rank it. I'm going to put it at like a 9.
For Pujols, how mad at Pujols you are?
I'm mad at Albert Pujols because I've watched enough Angel baseball this year, and this is a guy who, as we all know, is a future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hitters this league has ever seen. And when you're that great, you don't blame a hitting coach because you're not hitting the ball. And I've watched enough games this year to see a really weird, uncanny impatience and insecurity in Pujols' swing. I don't know if it's just changing over from the NL to the AL. I don't know what it is. You know, he hasn't seen these pitchers enough, whatever it is. But the 0-2 counts cannot be blamed on Mickey Hatcher. Albert Pujols, I'm sure, had quite a long leash for a long time when Hatcher was there. Hatcher knew how great this guy was. It was, dude, swing the bat. Swing the bat when you feel, you know, ready to hit that pitch. Pujols has been a little bit of a diva. Call me ignorant. And too much of a dreamer.
Ignorant. Too much of a dreamer.
And too much of a dreamer to think Pujols otherwise. Because, you know, during his Cardinal days, he was like, he just had this sort of, there's just this weird purity surrounding Albert Pujols for most of his career, you know.
Sure.
But now that he's in the bright lights in Orange County and he's playing for a team that spent $250 million on him, there's a little bit of a diva there. And
there's some diva provisions in his contract.
And it's pissing me off as an Angels fan because we as a franchise speaking, pay you $25 million a year to hit the damn baseball and shut your mouth.
Right. And there are some diva provisions in his contract. I don't know if you know the specifics of it. I don't have all of them, but I do know that there's some kind of for life kind of payout of his contract. There's like a personal services contract for the rest of his life or for like 30 years or something.
It's not the contract. Like, it's him blaming Mickey Hatcher for not hitting the baseball.
For something that
ticks me off.
So I
know that he's struggling because he's struggling.
Right.
Just admit it.
Right.
I'm struggling.
And so at this point, you're not thinking that was a worthy signing and you're not happy with how that's gone? Or are you still hopeful that over the next, you know, 10 years?
You can't define a great player after 50 games.
Right, sure.
He's done it for so long.
But what's the panic meter? 1 to 10, 10 being the most panicked. How panicked are you about the
this
Pujols
year?
Signing? Just in general, about them signing Albert Pujols.
I'm not panicked at all because it's going to...
So 1, 2, 3... Four.
A two.
Two.
Because it's going to bring in a lot of revenue for the team, which means more free agents in the future. But this year, how panicked am I? After April, I thought...
You're a third of the way through the year now.
Yeah. After April, I thought, who cares? Slow start April. We're almost done with May now, and Pujols is sitting on four homers. The team's not hitting. Even Heron's struggling. Irvin Santana's struggling.
Yeah.
Our relief pitching is just disgusting and
disposable. Eric Ibar's hitting like 200.
Disposable. There's that Walden
was my fantasy reliever to start the year.
There's that weird identity crisis I was talking about. So they aren't stealing bases as much as they used to because they want to give Pujols more of a shot.
So this year,
the panic isn't quite there yet to this extreme. I would put it at about a six.
Let me ask you this question. At the end of the first month of the NBA regular season, I said the Lakers definitely aren't more than a 4 or 5 seed in the playoffs, and they have no chance at winning a title. How can you equate that to the Angels season? Is it something that you're looking at them and saying, this isn't the year already? Or how hopeful are you as a diehard Angels fan? Because most Laker fans at that point in the season, and even up to the playoffs, we could still pull it out, because they've been able to flip the switch before. But for the Angels, I see you shaking your head.
It's not the year. No, I think Albert's going to have the worst year of his career. He might bounce back next year. Actually, he probably will bounce back next year, but he's going to have the worst year of his career.
You better hope he doesn't get hurt or something and he has to think about it. That's the thing that I would be the most afraid of.
They haven't found a way to really work in Kendrys Morales again.
That's been an odd thing. It seems like he's mostly healthy by now.
He's getting iced out, actually. He went through a period where he was like 1 for his last 35.
Is he just not hitting, or?
He doesn't play every day. And I think when you're that good, you need to play every day.
Yeah, he's got to be an everyday guy.
Trumbull's not playing every day, and Trumbull's having a hot year. Hunter's old. He's been hurt. Vernon Wells is out for the year now, which is probably good, actually. The only bright spot this year has been Mike Trout and Peter Borgeau.
Yeah, Trout's hitting the hell out of the ball, right?
Yeah, Trout, and he steals bases. And I'm really excited about Mike Trout and Borgeau. I think that those two guys are the future.
Torrey Hunter's having a good year too, right?
He's having a good year. He's had some off field issues with his son.
With Trout and Borgeau,
can they maybe eke out like a wild card?
Well, with Trout and Borgeau and Hunter in the outfield, isn't there an outfielder that gets squeezed? Or is that their three outfielders?
See, this is what I mean. This team's so stacked. It kind of reminds me of like when the Magic were going to the finals for a couple years there, and they had guys like
Turkoglu, when he was good.
They just had guys.
Jameer Nelson.
But they even brought guys off the bench who were probably
like
start.
Turkoglu was a sixth man. Yeah,
he'd probably start elsewhere. There's almost like too many players. There's too many personalities. I think Socha's over his head a little bit. He's like, dude, okay, I can't start Trout every day because he's young. I need to give him kind of days off so he can think about
things. I'm not starting Morales every day because I got to respect
Wells and Hunter because they're veterans.
Yeah, Wells was squeezed out before he was hurt.
Yeah. And then Borgeau's kind of like the lesser version of Trout. So he's like, I got to give him like 80% of Trout's games in totality. Right. And then Kendrys Morales, Trumbo, and Pujols are really all first basemen.
Right. Is Trumbo playing third?
One could play DH. Trumbo didn't work out at third.
Oh, so defensively that's a lost cause.
That was a liability. So one of them can play DH, but but also what's been happening, so then check this out. This is an extra wrench.
Wow.
They've been playing Trumbo in right field.
Okay. So then
there's another outfielder. So then
there's guys getting squeezed, and meanwhile Ibar's hitting 200. Who plays second base for them?
Howie Kendrick.
Okay,
Howie.
He didn't move on to Seattle.
Did he come? No, back? You're thinking of Sean Figgins.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Sean Figgins. That's right. Yeah,
Figgy was dope for a little while.
And Kendrick could play the outfield too.
Howie Kendrick's dope, actually.
He could play the outfield, right? He's like a center fielder sometimes.
Kendrick's
if he wants
gonna
to
hit 280 every year.
Right. Hit like 15 homers, with 15 no, or 20
and
homers,
be, and be like a Gold Glove, second baseman.
And he can play other positions too.
Yeah, he actually played left the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, so they just have all these pieces, I think,
I think if Pujols was, and this is where it does show how much a great player can have an effect on people. Right. Imagine if Pujols was hot,
right.
If he was the Pujols we know, and then guys like even Kendrys Morales weren't playing every day, but imagine the belief that team probably would have,
right.
And these guys who maybe have extra days off. Are like, look, man, this team is scoring runs. We're exciting. When I get my shot to come in and hit, I'm going to hit the crap out of the ball.
So this is a great entree into a quick discussion about the Dodgers, too. And we have about 7 minutes here. Sure. I want this to be a quick one.
Sure.
But Matt Kemp, at the beginning of the year, was tearing the cover
a
off the
beast.
Ball.
Beast. Oh, my God.
As good a start to a
steroid
season.
Steroid good. I'm just kidding.
As good a start to a season as we've seen.
Well, you don't really hit balls to right field that 440.
You know, he's been doing it, though. He's been doing it since he got into the league.
I think he's good no matter what.
He's a 6'4 basketball athletic dude.
Okay, if somebody asked you for a straight-up deal,
uh-huh.
And then we'll go into your Dodgers real quick. Matt Kemp for Albert Pujols. based upon not what Pujols has done this year for a career and considering Kemp's early in his career could fan out.
Yeah.
Would you take that deal?
No, I keep Kemp.
Okay.
Because of the age difference, I think.
Okay.
Kemp's what, like 25?
What if it was Pujols like 4 years ago when he was 29?
Probably Pujols. The last 4 years of Pujols, two championships, right, recently.
Yeah.
In the last like 5 or 6
years. Okay, so go ahead. So Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, they got off to a great start, and now that Kemp's hurt, they're still rolling. They've won 6 in a row before tonight.
Guerra lost like 4 or 5 games for you guys, too.
Early in the season, yeah. So
imagine, you guys could be 35 and whatever.
Yeah, they got Jansen in there now, who's
good.
Who's closing, and Guerra pitched. Guerra got the win the other night. He pitched like five, the fifth inning.
And Jansen came from the Angels, right?
Jansen came from Curaçao. I don't know if he was on another team before the Dodgers. He was a catcher. Back in the day, like a 6'4 catcher.
I think we had Jansen because he throws heat, right?
Oh, yeah, but he was way wild and way young. He's only like 20, 21.
We had Jansen.
Like for a second?
I think for a second he was throwing heat.
He wasn't up in the big leagues for the Angels, though.
Oh, he wasn't? Okay.
If you guys had him, he was in your system. But what I was going to say is, you know, you have 6 or 7 guys on the DL. Juan Rivera, guys who you thought were going to play pretty
Juan
big
Rivera.
Roles.
I'm so glad you guys took him from us.
And he was hitting good at the beginning of the year, actually, probably because he was hitting behind or in front of Kemp. Ethier's having a quietly great year again.
Quietly.
He's got more RBIs at this point than he did last year. He's still hitting very well, and he's one of the reasons why people couldn't pitch around Kemp, because Ethier was behind him. I liken it to the Bonds Jeff Kent. I hope that's what that kind of becomes, is that Ethier is Matt Kemp's Jeff Kent.
I think Ethier is better than that.
I know. But Jeff Kent was an MVP behind
For
Barry
one
Bonds.
Year.
Yeah, he was MVP, dude. And he was a
How about Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla during the Pirates years?
I think Bonds Kent for the like 2 or 3 years they were really good
God,
together.
That's not fair to Ethier, because Ethier's been so good his whole career.
He's been so good, and here's the thing: he has an opportunity to get 30 and 100 now for 2 or 3 years in a row, just like Jeff Kent did. And I think that's a really good
comparison.
And the Dodgers in general, you know, there was something on Dodger Thoughts today. It's one of my favorite Dodger blogs. He said, "I haven't written anything in a week. Usually I'm trying to describe things. I've just been enjoying the ride, just like you guys. I'll write something at some point, but right now I'm just enjoying the ride."
I have a question for you. I was talking to a friend of mine, also a diehard Dodger fan, big fan of D. Gordon. If there's been one blight this year, I mean, it's silly to say that because you guys are playing so well, but there's always ways to improve. It's probably in the D. Gordon area.
Yeah, D. Gordon.
Well, he's hitting about 200. They hired a new hitting coach, I saw for him.
Like a special instructor.
Yeah, his own instructor. I guess he was hitching his swing or something.
Yeah, so I can talk.
What is your take
Gordon.
On Gordon?
Yeah, Gordon has been and is still on my fantasy team.
And is he going to be that all-star player that people thought he would be?
He is and has been on my fantasy team. He has freakish athleticism. He weighs like 160 pounds.
He's tiny.
He's like 5'11 or 6 foot.
He's like a damn gazelle on the base pass.
He's incredible, right? He's like he should be a 100-meter sprinter. Like he's
those legs are so long.
So long and he's so skinny.
Devon White style almost.
And he's so skinny. I mean, Devo looks like a fat
person.
But
I'm saying that's just the way he ran.
Yeah. It's smooth, it's effortless. Two things that hurt D. Gordon. One is the fact that he can't get on base. He's not taking a lot of pitches. He's not putting a lot of pitches in play.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
The other is defensively, he's not really a super upgrade. He might make some ridiculous plays in the hole or up the middle, like because he can get two balls that other people can't. But he also throws a lot of balls away. He was making a lot of errors before the Dodgers kind of demoted him. So recently the Dodgers put him on the bench, and they've been starting Justin Sellers for the last week or so. Sellers has been getting the starts pretty much the whole time. I think his ceiling, to answer your question, he's a very unique player in that he's not going to win games by hitting home runs. He's not even going to get doubles very often unless they're kind of between two outfielders and he legs it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to get out of D. Gordon is hopefully putting pressure. I think at the plate, the best you're going to get for him is like a slap hitter, somebody who can get on base. He's gonna have to learn how to take walks if you can even learn how to take walks.
I was just gonna say that.
You have to get on base somehow. He had 12 stolen bases, you know, before you know it. But if he's not getting on base, he can't steal more. At the beginning of the year, he was kind of hot, and I thought he was gonna get 75 steals or something by the end of the year, the way he was getting on base. If he's not getting on base, he can't steal bases, and then he's kind of useless because he's not an upgrade really defensively either. He's like 21 though. So he's very young. Uh-huh. He's somebody that I think can develop, best case scenario, to answer your question.
Like a Delano DeShields or better?
I hope that he can develop into, obviously defensively, he's going to be a downgrade from somebody like Ibar on the Angels. Okay. But okay, I think comparing him to the crosstown Ibar.
I like that comparison, actually.
I think it doesn't.
Ibar's quick. He's a slap hitter.
He even
bunts a lot to get on.
Ibar's better defensively.
He's much more patient at the plate.
Ibar's better defensively, and Gordon's better stealing bases. But I think those two things wash each other out, maybe.
Sure.
And I think what D. Gordon hopes to be is when Eric Ibar is playing well and feeling good.
Okay.
So 280, maybe like a 350 on base.
But somebody who gets on base a lot.
Yeah, like a 350, 380 on base would be great,
too. Because that's actually what, you could almost compare him, too, to Sean Figgins, the guy you brought up earlier, because Figgy, for about a few years there with the Angels, was that same type of player, would bunt to get on, was a slap ball hitter, incredibly patient, drew a lot of walks.
And D. Gordon hasn't been that yet. One thing that I was going to say is that the poor play of Gordon is offset this year by the great play of AJ Ellis.
Yeah, well,
AJ Ellis is going to be an all-star.
Where did he come from?
He takes more walks than anybody in the league.
That guy
almost
is a stud.
He throws guys out. He's been hitting a couple. He's got like 3 or 4 homers. I mean, I was expecting like maybe 2 or 3 the whole year from AJ Ellis. He's got like 4 already, I think.
Now, give me an update on Loney. Is Loney still just Loney?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Loney's who he is. He is who we thought they were.
Who's playing third right now?
Who's playing third right now?
It's not the fat Uribe, right?
Uribe, thank God, is on the DL. There's a really good website. It's called emo1uribe.com.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Scott Van Slyke is up. He's playing outfield.
Oh, Van Slyke, Andy's son.
Andy's son. You know, if Van Slyke stays up, he may be the answer. I'm actually really, really excited about an outfield that could include Van Slyke, Kemp, and Ethier.
Okay.
For the future, if they re-sign Ethier after this year. I think Van Slyke has some power. He has like he's a big guy, right? I think his ceiling is like a Konerko kind of level power.
Paul Konerko.
I think maybe not as consistent as Konerko, but I think he could develop into that. That's
a compliment.
I'm just saying.
Paul Konerko is a 500 home run guy.
He's a borderline. Yeah, he's one of those like
he's one of those
Rafael Palmeiro borderline.
You
Hall
feel
of Fame
bad
guys.
Not sticking him in the Hall of Fame, but you also feel bad sticking him in the Hall of Fame.
Right, right. Yeah. And so if Van Slyke could be that. You know, like maybe Eric Karros at the plate, something like that even would be decent. You know, if the Dodgers could get, because they thought they were going to get that out of Russell Martin or one of those other guys, and it just never panned out. So I think, you know, that's an exciting thing for the Dodgers. And it's also exciting to be both winning and seeing your young guys at the same time.
Okay, so
they have this other guy up named Herrera, because mm-hmm. Mark Ellis is on the mm-hmm. DL. Herrera's playing a good second base, too, and getting on base and hitting.
Now,
so.
before we close this up, though, I want to bring up I don't want to ignore a couple guys in your on your pitching staff who have surprised the heck out of all of us. One guy who I can't even stand watching him throw the ball still. A guy who I think most Dodger fans, but even non-Dodger fans like myself, I just want to throw up when I even think about him. But he's pitching well. Is Capuano. But I want to throw out a stat at you. I was talking that buddy I was talking to about D. Gordon, who's a big fan of Gordon, was talking about Capuano also, and he threw out a really really interesting stat. 2 years ago with the Mets, Capuano began the season 6-0. Mm-hmm. He finished it 0-14.
And he went 6-14 for the season.
6-14 for the year.
And so
which Capuano do we have?
That's a great question. And that might have been a Mets team that knocked the Dodgers out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it might.
When that left Joe Bimel hurt his hand and cut his hand, blah blah blah. Capuano has been really, really good. He pitched for the Brewers last year and he was, you know, part of their rotation.
He's been okay. You mean this year?
This year he's been amazing.
Okay, I thought you meant for his career.
And there are two guys on the Dodgers, both left-handers, Capuano and Lilly.
Lilly's
who
been
I
good too.
Who I came into the season with little to no confidence in, I'll just tell you. You know, I think Lilly throws, you know, 91 at tops, and Capuano throws maybe 92 at tops. And so, you know, I wasn't super – I didn't know Capuano threw that hard, number one. I thought he was like an 89 guy who just did it with stuff. Mm-hmm. He throws a little bit harder than I thought and has better stuff than I thought. He like walks a lot of guys.
I thought he was like a Cid Hernandez.
He walks a lot of guys.
You like that name
drop? A skinny Cid Hernandez?
Yeah.
Or was it Hernandez or Fernandez? I can't remember.
It was
Fernandez.
Cid Fernandez.
Keith Hernandez was on Cid Fernandez's yeah. Mets team.
Okay, go ahead.
So the one of the best stashes ever. total 80s stash. But
and threw like a girl.
Who, Keith? Or Cid Fernandez? Yeah,
he threw like an 85-mile-per-hour fastball.
What's scarier for me than Capuano or Lilly? Right now, because Lilly's won his last like 15 starts. I mean, he's incredible right now. He's just in his zone. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, he's been hot.
And Kershaw's hot. The two that scare me are Harang is the fifth starter, and he's had a great season so far. Great season. His ERA is under four, like under 3.5 maybe. He's just got all the starts against the Padres. I don't know, but he's pitching really well, and I'm worried that that's not going to last. The other thing that I've really been puzzled about, and I guess I shouldn't be at this point, is Billingsley.
Billingsley's always going to be this way, dude.
And he started off the season. I have him on a fantasy team. He strikes out, you know, 8 or 9 guys, and Pitt goes 8 innings for a shutout. You know, when he does that 2 or 3 starts in a row, and he hasn't won since. And he kind of worries me that, you know, this guy with great stuff, a la Darren Dreyfuss. I made that comparison and people didn't like it. But they both have great stuff and they're both disappointments at this point, you know? That's the best way to put it. You know, I think Billingsley still has a chance to turn it around, but if you haven't done it by now, I mean, he's been a frontline starter for the Dodgers for 5 or 6 years now, I want to say. And he's, you know, it's at some point you got to say, you know, call a spade a spade. You got to call Billingsley what he is.
So
they were hoping that he would be their 2 starter. What they've been fortunate with is that Lilly's been a great 2 starter and Capuano's been a great 3 starter. That makes their 1, 2, and 3 starters all left-handers, and all you have left is Billingsley and Harang now, and both I'm more shaky on. So
okay, so I want to go ahead before we end this segment real quick and ask you a few questions about the current from the current MLB world. It's called Take It or Leave It. It's a game on the fly. I just thought of this right now, but it's a game that we could incorporate
well planned.
We can incorporate here in the future. Take it or leave it, Owen, regarding current MLB teams or players. Take it or leave it, the Dodgers' current start. Will they be as hot as, you know, will they stay this hot, take it, or are they going to, you know, cool off and leave it?
Well, I'm a Dodger fan, so I'm going to say take it. And that's both because they've been able to do it without all their guys, and it seems like one of those seasons where maybe your guys are coming together. I mean, the Cardinals had a season like that last year, kind of where it kind of didn't matter who was hurt, somebody else would step up. Freeze kind of stepped up. That's what I'm hoping the Dodgers kind of turn into this year, with
now,
a big basher in the middle, Kemp instead of Pujols.
And then not being a fan, let's go to some other areas. Angels' current issues, take it or leave it.
Leave it. They'll come back. They'll be over 500. They'll be third in their division, second in their division, behind the Rangers. But and with a second wild card, there's a second wild card this year.
So you're thinking second wild card.
They'll be within like 2 or 3 games of that second wild card. Even though I don't think they'll get it, they'll be within like 3 games of it.
Bobby Valentine is the manager of the Red Sox beyond this season. Take it or leave it.
The Red Sox are a mess. You listen to like the Bill Simmons podcast. The Red Sox are a freaking mess. They're a dumpster fire. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about Valentine. It's Valentine, right? Who's their coach?
Bobby, yeah.
He hasn't impressed anybody. I think he'll get one more year.
Okay, the Orioles.
So I'll take it.
The Orioles, first place in the AL East. Take it or leave it.
First place, leave it. Second wild card, take it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, a couple more.
Love that story. I love Baltimore being back in the mix.
Me too. I love Baltimore. They're one of those great baseball cities.
Yeah, and it'd be the same thing if like what's another team that's declined? Like Toronto is another team. Like mm-hmm. I'd love to see somebody else. God, anybody okay, else from the AL
this
East.
This is a 2-part question.
This is why I like the Devil Rays.
2-part question about one team. Okay. Beginning with just one of the players, Josh Hamilton's incredible start. Panning over to the rest of the year, take it or leave it.
Well, he's kind of cooled off the last week or so, right? I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Right. He's hit no home runs the last week.
Yeah.
But he's got, what, 19 already?
I'll take it. I mean, he's not going to get nobody can stay this hot, but I'll take him having like a 40, 45 home run season.
The Rangers hitting almost 300 as a team. Take it or leave it.
Leave it. I mean, nobody can do that. Although they're
realistically,
a,
what do you think? Like
they are in a
285
super crap division. You know, they're in like the worst division, like as far as what the other pitching has done so far this year. So like Seattle's got Felix and that's it. The A's have, you know, taped together rotation. Yeah, maybe like 279, 281, somewhere in there. That's pretty specific.
Yeah, that is pretty specific. Okay, well, last question. There are some rumors regarding this, so it's not based on nothing. If the Angels miss the playoffs this year, Mike Scioscia as manager, take it or leave it.
So this is the conundrum I have, is that Mattingly has got the Dodgers off to such a great start. So there's no way he's gone after this year. My whole, like, McCourt, get rid of McCourt, get rid of Mattingly. I didn't think Mattingly was the right choice last year, but he's kind of starting to grow on me.
Okay.
My whole, like, master plan, say, like, middle of the year last year.
Scioscia.
Was to steal Scioscia. Yeah, totally. That's totally my master plan, is to eventually steal Scioscia and Mickey Hatcher and all those guys. Uh-huh. I mean, they're National League guys. That's still maybe my master plan. I don't know. It depends on how well the Dodgers do. If the Dodgers totally go in the tank at the end of this year,
uh-huh,
then that's definitely my master plan still as a Dodger fan. I'll give you a couple. Take it. What do you think about that one? Take it or leave it. Scioscia is the manager of the Angels next year.
Scioscia remains manager based on the slow season that Pujols had. I think that'll be the bigger factor.
What's it been like? 13 years now, huh? That Scioscia's been their manager.
Yeah, he's been so good. Yeah. Too much history.
Take it or leave it. My finals prediction being absolutely accurate for the NBA. Heat over the Thunder. Take it or leave it.
Leave it. Heat over the Spurs.
You think the Spurs are going to take out the Thunder?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I got one more. One more up my sleeve at this point. Take it or leave it, because he's on my fantasy team. Most important one. No, I'm not going to give you an Eric Ibar one. I've decided against it.
Okay.
What can I give you for a take it or leave it? Take it or leave it. Yankees in the World Series.
Wow. Leave it. That's easy.
Rangers. Who's your World Series pick? You know, we're a third of the way through the season. Who's your World Series pick? And we've kind of skipped around here, but we'll end. Who's your World Series pick?
You mean to win it all or just in the World Series?
Two teams in the World Series, who wins?
I think when I began the year, what did I say? I said I think we said this as a crew. We all said our picks and it was...
But you can change now if you want.
The Rangers out of the AL and out of the NL. God, it'd be nice to see the Dodgers, but I don't know. I don't have faith in them in the postseason. That's the problem.
But who else do you have out of the National League?
You know what would be awesome? Even though I like Pujols, as if the Cardinals came back and
that would be pretty sweet. They're in first place. They're doing
well.
They're
playing well.
Yeah.
David Freese is hitting good and so is Holiday.
Yeah, and their pitching's back.
I'll just go out on a limb and say, why not? I mean, why not? I mean, it's so wide open this year. Let's say Cardinals Rangers.
Cardinals Rangers again.
Yeah.
The rematch. Who wins this time?
It's anyone's game at that point. Wouldn't that
pick
be
a World Series
the
winner.
Irony?
Pick a World Series winner.
I'm going to go with the storyline. Like I said earlier, we're all about stories. Wouldn't it be so ironic if the Angels miss the postseason, Pujols struggles, Freeze has a huge year, Holiday has a huge year, and the Cardinals go back-to-back without Pujols?
That would be pretty rad. I'm going to go Rangers-Dodgers, Rangers over the Dodgers.
Okay, so the Dodgers. So you are taking the Dodgers that serious. Think outside of your fandom.
Yeah,
I mean, try to be that critic.
Here's the thing. They've won 30 games with some smoke and mirrors, but if Capuano and Lilly are as good as they've been pitching, and if Harang can give you a 500 record as a starter, their bullpen's very good. Lindblom is very good.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. They have holes at places like third base and at places like second base if Ellis stays hurt. They have holes that I feel like they can fill. They can go out, and it's not going to be an issue of money making a trade. Or signing somebody. I guess they're not signing anybody this year, but making a trade, they're not going to be afraid to do it.
I haven't even heard any rumors this year.
Can I give you a good option here?
Like a perfect option, you're saying. If like it was a perfect world.
If it was a perfect world, they would trade Loney and somebody.
Loney. Nobody wants Loney.
No, no, listen. Loney and somebody.
Loney Tunes.
To the Red Sox. You take on Euculus's big contract and you put him at first base so he doesn't have to play third.
I like Euculus, by the way.
Yeah, so you put Euculus at first with the Dodgers. It's actually, I stole it from Bill Simmons. He wants to get rid of Euculus. But maybe you trade like Loney and...
They would never take Loney.
Some incredible like... Draft, you know, some prospects, yeah.
I wonder if they'd package Gordon in that deal.
And maybe you even take Carl Crawford's contract too.
Ooh.
Nah, that's
that would be the worst.
I like Carl Crawford. I think he's gonna come back.
I like him too.
He's due for comeback season.
My Angels could have had him and they didn't want 2 years ago.
Same with the Dodgers, man.
2 years ago they could have had him. There was a deal that was like worked out. All the one piece that they couldn't side on was Irvin Santana. I like Irvin. But I thought, oh man, when you can have a center fielder like Crawford.
I guess it's worked out though. I mean, Crawford's had crappy time outside of Tampa. Yeah. All right, great. So
great,
you
yeah,
say,
no, no, great. You're still like Kurt. The poor people listening. Okay, great. We're over, you guys.
Bye. No, it's,
no, I'm
you
just
know,
kidding. I was just kidding.
The 34 minute.
I'm just
mark.
Joking with you.
You got the Rangers and the Cardinals. Cardinals
yeah,
over
just
the Rangers.
The irony of it.
I'll take the Dodgers over the Rangers or the Rangers over the Dodgers.
That's a smart pick.
I'd love to see the Dodgers back in the World Series.
I would love it too.
Although that's, you know, I just can't think of anybody else. I wouldn't pick the Dodgers because I don't think it's. I think the storyline there would be just too unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know who else to pick, Luke.
Okay, I have a good question for
you, Luke. Who else do I pick in the National League? The
no
Braves?
One. No.
The Mets? The Nationals? Are they for real? I don't know.
No, they're not. You know what?
There's no dominant teams in the National League anymore.
I know that we want to end this post, but this is so fun. I have one more question for you. In 2 years, when Lindsay's a free agent and the Dodgers need that third starter, actually even maybe that second starter, do you guys do the Blue Crew have any shot at getting a big name like Lindsay?
Lindsay?
Lincecum.
Oh, Lincecum. Lindsay.
They call him Lindsay.
The Dodgers have a shot at Cole Hamels this offseason.
Ooh.
That's who they're going to get. They're going to pay Cole Hamels like...
That'd be sexy.
They're going to pay Cole Hamels $200 million.
Oh, shoot. I almost said the other word.
Yeah.
That's too much for Cole Hamels.
That's what people are talking about. He's a Boris guy, and Boris is in with the guys who own the Dodgers, and the Dodgers...
$200
million? I'm just saying. They're going to get...
But you're not happy about that. I mean, that's too much money.
So is $2.1 billion, but if they have the money... As long as I don't have to pay $200 for a ticket.
You might.
Right? Well, it's mostly in TV money that they make their money.
That's true.
And probably in development of the land there. So,
do you know how much money the Angels made when they signed Pujols? They signed
uh-huh.
over like 3 years or something. It was like a $3.5 billion TV deal.
Right. Right.
So when everyone was freaking out like, oh my God, you're going to drown with the...
Yeah, no.
Artie was like, dude, I'm so smart. I just made a ton of money on Pujols.
And the Dodgers are doing the same thing. They have their TV deal up at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So they're going to actually probably have their own network. Instead of being on Fox, they're going to have a Dodgers network.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Charge cable companies for. So we're going to end up paying for it on TV.
Yeah.
But it'll be spread out over, 5 million people, not 56,000. So it'll be a little bit more palatable. And yeah, that's something that I'm looking forward to. I mean, I don't care how they do it. I've been begging the Dodgers to spend money more, ever since they busted on like Kevin Brown and busted on Darren Dreyfuss. I mean, they gave him like, I think I posted that on our website, the biggest Dodger bust contract.
Yeah, we got to change that. That's
Andrew Jones. I think I did change it maybe.
You did?
Possibly.
Who's the greatest Kansas City Royal of all time?
George Brett.
George Brett.
Easy. Easy peasy.
It'd be random to have a Royal one up there.
Should I have who's the greatest Toronto Blue Jay of all time?
Ooh. Gary Carter? No, I mean Joe Carter.
Joe Carter. Tony Fernandez. All right.
Robbie Alomar.
Yeah, probably actually Alomar is probably, or Roy Halladay maybe.
Or Paul Molitor was there.
Yeah.
So was
a brewer though.
So was Olerud. He was good. No, I know you're laughing, but Olerud was good, dude.
Ricky Henderson story? You've heard this one, right?
About Olerud?
Yeah. So Henderson played for the Blue Jays back in the day with Olerud. And then like 10 years later, Henderson's on the Mets and Olerud's on the Mets. And Henderson comes up to Olerud and goes, hey, when I played on the Blue Jays, there was a guy who had a helmet like that too in the field.
Oh my gosh. That's so awesome.
It's one of my favorite stories. All right. Off we go. Fans and Ship podcast. Stay with us. And hopefully We'll see you back here. Comment, do whatever you need to do to get your voice heard. And
yeah, Luke, it's been fun. It's been fun.
All right, peace. See ya.